I felt strongly the presence of God, and maybe that's just because God's working in me, working on me. Let me say that. This morning, I want to talk to you about a message that I've entitled A Powerful Combination. And as you know, we have communicated to you, the leadership and I, that we believe that that the emphasis going into the fall is to try to help us to see how to be spiritually engaged. In other words, filled with the Spirit and doing those things and ministering around those things that the Bible says that we should be. And so, as your pastor today, I want to say that I realize that, this year, as I have seen what we have gone through and what people are going through in their lives, I realize that we are not the only ones. You know, sometimes when people struggle with things or you see the deception, we kind of think, well, wow, I mean, that's just something we're going through. It's not. It's not. The reason that we ask you to pray for our country is because we are moving into deception, I think, at a greater rate than I've ever seen as being an American and living here. And that's not a political statement, okay? That I'm talking about spiritually, though. So this morning, I want to talk to you about a powerful combination. Then we want to spend a little bit of time just praying and doing some ministry. So I trust that you will just allow God to speak to you, to whatever that he might today through what it is that he desires to do. And I'm committing to you to hear the voice of the Lord and to present to you what that he would try to speak to us today, and let you know that I am very much in my own life, wrestling through and working through the things that I'm going to present to you. You know, the truth of God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit are a powerful combination. I'm not very powerful right now because you're plugged in. I'm okay. Well, that's. Oh, you're right. I'm not. I promise I didn't do that deliberately, but that's a very good way to. It's not exactly at the right point. Okay, there we go. Thank you, Scott. See, that's why you need community. You need brothers to help you out. When you're leaking, you need somebody to say, "I think you're disconnected." Okay, so I'm disconnected. But the truth of God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit are a powerful combination. If you look across church history, if you study that, and I know many of you may not, but it's very interesting. But you just look at our church scene today, and you look that you have churches that are really focused a lot of times on the Bible, and that's a great thing. And then you have churches that have moved very much towards the charismatic. Recently, Dan Williams and I had dinner with Brother Charles when he was coming through town and traveling, and Dan Williams asking this question. He said, "What do you see going on in the church?" And one of the things that he said is that concerns him a little bit. And this is you have to understand his heritage coming out of the Baptist church, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, being asked to leave the Baptist church, and then going on to be a real pioneer. He said, "I see a lot of emotionalism. Not grounded by God's word," is what he was saying. And so, I believe this morning, not just as we look at the book of Acts, because you have to realize, the book of Acts is really the second volume of the book of Luke. Okay? And what you see is the disciples, Jesus has, he has taught them and he has tried to prepare them. And at the very last time, he is trying to get them ready, and he is saying some very important things to them. It's interesting because when you look at the God's word being taught or being preached, and you see the work of the Holy Spirit, you see that people are drawn from every nation and from every religion, that they're called out. I mean, just look today. Just look in this sanctuary. You may not realize it, but there are people from several different nations that are right here worshiping together. That is a living demonstration of the power of God's word and the combination of the Holy Spirit working together. And I think, you know, in this day and in this age, and you know, and I guess all of us over, you know, every person that's ever born wrestles with where, you know, trying to fulfill, you know, in the New Testament days, you know, the Great Commission. And it's very interesting that in preparation, right before Jesus goes back to be with his Father, he is talking to them about the Great Commission, talking to them about God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Discipleship, whether, you know, discipleship sometimes for some people, I guess, has a bad connotation. But discipleship starts with a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. Why would we be afraid of that? It means really to be engaged in the fullness of the spiritual life that God has designed for us. But it requires us to live a life where the truth of God's word is working in conjunction with the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 8 through 1. I'm sorry, 1 through 8. Read them in reverse order just to do something different today. The book of Acts, you know, as I said, the book of Acts is actually the second volume of the book of Luke, and the book of Luke really gives the details of what Jesus began to do and to teach. But the book of Acts really talks about what he continues to do through the disciples, but as he is at the right hand of the Father. And it's amazing that these disciples who gathered are the ones that carried out the mission. And again, as I'm always reminded, I have preached, you know, over 8 years, I've probably preached many messages around, you know, this particular theme of things. But I'm grateful because I'm here today and you're here today because of what these men and women did. In the face of seeing Jesus being crucified, but then yet knowing that he was raised from the dead. I mean, we get upset with our government a little bit, and we get upset about the hostility towards Christianity. They lived in a different day. We did not experience what they did, and we did not experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ, did we? But we believe that it's true. Let's look, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. He says, in my former book, Theopolis, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now listen to verse 6, because this is important. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let's pray for a second. Father, Lord, we just commit this time to you. We ask you to help us. We ask you to speak. We ask you to help us to hear. Lord, we surrender our will and our lives to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to take really two principles to highlight from these verses. The first thing that I want you to see is that spiritual revival and transformation is preceded by the teaching of God's Word. Now, I think we know this. And our church is interesting because we have a history and a heritage of both. That's why I believe that people come here sometimes and not having received the baptism of the Holy Spirit or not necessarily believing that the gifts of the Spirit are still operating, and that this is a good place for them to come to help them in their journey, because we believe very much in that. This morning, I want you to look at some specific things and some verses as we go through this. Look in verse 2. It says that Jesus gave instructions, okay? And we're going to spend a little bit of time going through these scriptures. The verb for instructing has the idea of commanding or giving orders. I know that that's not comfortable for some people today. I mean, even in the corporate world, a younger generation do not like authority. Don't like to hear commands. I mean, we wrestle sometimes in our whole youth ministry with the idea that because so many young adults and teenagers want to have a group setting where we just kind of talk about things. But you understand, Jesus gave clear instructions, and they were commandments. But look what it says. It says that these instructions were given through the Holy Spirit. It's the combination of the truth of God's word, the commands that Jesus had for them, and the power of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit working. And this is in reference, if you look to the commands that he gave in verses 4 and 8, and I want you to, you know, we're going to touch on those, but in verses 4 and 8, his commandments to them, his instructions were very clear. Do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. But once you do, then go preach the gospel to all the nations of the earth. Those were not optional things that he was telling them to do. And look in verse 3. It talks about that Jesus gave many proofs that he was alive. Now, why did he give them many proofs that he was alive? He gave them many proofs because Christianity is based on what many people say is objective facts. I mean, what you get into in the church is the debate over the objective truth of God and the subjective, sometimes, experience that people have with the Holy Spirit. And one of the issues that the church has had on the charismatic side in some of the spiritual awakenings is that there's been a powerful move of God, but then there was a, then it's been void of continuing to teach and bringing balance to the work of the Holy Spirit. And as I mentioned earlier, that sometimes, you know, that churches struggle because they're only focused on the truth of God's word. There's not any vitality or life because they somewhat ignore the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now I believe that this is a real roadmap for us. It's where we're going. It's where we've come from. And one of the struggles that we have, I think, is, you know, with a church that's made up of 70% new people who don't understand our heritage and don't understand the history and sometimes don't understand, you know, the biblical truth of God's word working in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. And we've got, you know, people coming in from both sides, and we're trying to become what God desires. And God wants us, and God expects us, and God has commanded us to minister around the truth of God's word and to believe in the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I mean, if we're not, let's go home. Let's go home. I mean, it was so important to Jesus. And remember, this is not at the beginning of his ministry. This is right before he goes back to be with the Father. I mean, he's giving them clear instructions. Commandments. orders. They're getting their marching orders, whether we like that it's authoritative or not. I didn't write this. I'm just trying to live it out. And for some reason, God chose me this Sunday to talk about this, so pray for me. But see, he wanted them to go on the mission believing in the truth of God's word. He wanted them to carry out the sound teaching that he had given to them, that he had demonstrated in his life and in his ministry with them. Why can we believe the truth? I mean, you and I, as I said earlier, we did not see Jesus Christ. We were not eyewitnesses to the resurrection. His resurrection. So why can we believe? Well, you know, we have some historical facts, you know, about things, and we see the church and all that. But we can believe the truth of God's word because of the resurrection. That's why he spent 40 days doing, you know, showing them many living proofs to convince them that the truth of God's word was as he had taught them and as he had demonstrated to them. I don't know. I mean, I think you know this, but who raised Jesus Christ from the dead? The Holy Spirit did. Because what is the Holy Spirit? It's God's Spirit. A matter of fact, Jesus, the man, the human being, was filled with what? God's Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. What came back alive in him was the Holy Spirit to raise him from the dead. And that's why we can believe in the truth of God's word. See, the church, and please hear me, the church has been called to integrate the truth of God's word with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's our job. That's our responsibility. When you teach your children and you raise them up, your responsibility is to help them and to demonstrate and to teach them that the combination of the truth of God's word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is the thing that brings spiritual transformation in their lives. They need to not only to hear it from us, they need to see it in action. I mean, covenant really means faithfulness in action. Yes. Yes. And how we live is really a response, but it's not optional, to God being covenantal. What God did for us and what he has done from the standpoint of making a way for us to have a personal relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. Our kids need to see that. But listen, it's more than just our children. I mean, the Awana program is a great thing. KPP, you know, doing, you know, Bible studies and all those kind of things. But the commandment that we have is to go out into all the nations. It's not just to call those that are in our house, though that's important. Please, I mean, it is. And a lot of us have work to do there. Even when your kids get older, as I've found out. You know, it changes. But you understand, the commandment was to go into all the nations. It was to speak to people from all kinds of countries and to all kinds of religions. I mean, remember, you know, we've talked about how that in, I think, 2003, you know, there were 42 major faiths in the United States. So for us to assume that everybody's been to vacation Bible school and that they know the Bible and that they somehow are just, you know, they're ready to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with a little bit of, a few verses, that's not true. There's some real strongholds over our country, you know, with other religions. But it's the truth of God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit that brings people to see the deception that they believe in. And to come to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 20. He said, "Be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Now, let's stop right there. We'll finish the rest of it in just a second. How do you do that? By listening to what society says, what the culture has to say about the Bible? No. It's the truth of God's word. That's the thing that anchors us. And it's not just a matter of knowledge. It's a matter of learning. You know, I mean, it's important not only that you go to hear, you know, I mean, a lot of people want to go and they want to hear a teacher or they want to hear somebody minister or they want, you know, they want to hear something, a good video series. But there needs to be something in us, all of us, that want to get into God's word on our own. Or you know what I'm saying? That you want to, you need to be fed by God's word. How are you going to help somebody else in their process if you're not doing it yourself? So he says, be careful then how you live. And the only way that I know how to be careful how you live is to understand and to be trying to live by the truth in God's word. Now, and then he goes on and he says in verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, with hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Fred came and, you know, and let me just speak what's on my heart, okay? I mean, you could go to a lot of churches today and you'll get a nice guy come up and say, we want to welcome you and we want, you know, hope you enjoy the donuts and the orange juice and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, and that's okay. But you have a man that's passionate about the truth of God's word and the Holy Spirit, and he's calling us up to worship. Now that, you know, I know not everybody's going to like that. There are going to be guests that are come and they're going to say, you know, and I just didn't like that guy getting up there and yelling at us. Don't be offended. I know you're not. You know what I'm saying. Did you understand? And so it's like he's living, he's demonstrating, and he did say to us that he's wrestling with his own sin, so he's not trying to, you know, cast something that he's a perfect individual. I hope you don't mind me being this open about you. But you understand, I mean, so there'll be some people that aren't going to like that. So people say, well, you know, our church is, you know, how come our church isn't 400 people? Because people don't like that. They don't. They want to come. They want to slide in. Give me a cup of coffee. Give me a donut. Let me look at your bulletin. There's great worship going on like there was this morning. And they're reading their bulletin. Now, you know, I understand if they're a seeker. But the way that we influence and impact people is by living who we are. By living by the truth of God's word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if they're going to come in here for an hour and, you know, a half, hour and 15 minutes, then let's do what God's called us to do. And I know we have to be relevant. But listen, if we water down things, we're not going to have any impact. It's going to be like the person that has, their thyroid gland is, you know, it's underdeveloped. It's, you know, there's no energy. There's no life. You need both. In Deuteronomy 20, chapters 22 and 23, you don't have to turn there. But King Josiah, he's 18 years into his reign, and he was so deeply impacted by the book of the law, the covenant that was found in the temple by the high priest Hilkiah, that it prompted him to get the elders together. And I mean, and they had a lot of worship of, you know, all kind of gods and all that kind of stuff. And he makes a pledge to the elders. I'm going to keep all the stipulations. All the things are in there. Why? Because there's a spiritual revival going on in his heart. And he's going to lead the people into the same thing. So they start clearing out all that stuff. Because it's the truth of God's word and God's spirit doing that. Now, what's the same thing that needs to happen in us today? And by us, I'm not just talking about Christ's covenant church, but in our country and in the church today. I'm going to take just a few minutes. Ajith Fernandez is an international director of Youth for Christ, and he's written about some of the deceptions in today's society and in the Western church that are challenged when the church integrates or combines the truth of God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit, as we see in the book of Acts, okay? And just give me just a couple of minutes to do this. He said this. He says, it challenges us to a society where individualism reigns and where the church also seems to have adopted a style of community life that guards the privacy of the individual. But the early church presents a radical community where members held all things in common. He also says it's to a society where selfishness is sometimes admired and each one is left to fend for himself or herself. And he says that Acts presents a group of Christians who were so committed to Christ that the cause of the gospel, that they were willing to sacrifice their desires for the good of others. He says it challenges a society where pluralism defines truth as something subjective and personal. And Acts presents a church that based its life on certain objective facts about God and Christ, and facts that were not only personally true, but also universally valid, and therefore had to be presented to the entire world. Just a couple of more. He says it's a challenge to a society that denies absolute truth, and that's where we are today. Our society denies absolute truth, and therefore shuns apologetics and persuasion in evangelism in favor of dialogues. You understand? I mean, I want to caution us because a lot of people want to have a dialogue about the truth of God's word, especially in the younger generation. But that's a slippery slope if you never learn the truth of God's word and really apply it to your life with the help of the Holy Spirit. And let me just give you one more. In an age where many churches look to excellence and techniques to bring success, Acts presents a church that depended on the Holy Spirit and gave top priority to prayer and moral purity. Listen, that's not going to preach well today. I'm talking about in Houston, Texas, and in America. It's challenging. Challenging to me to live my life and not fall into those deceptions. It's challenging to me as a husband and a father and a pastor. Especially as I think about bearing the responsibility to serve as a pastor of Christ Covenant Church. Secondly, this morning, the other principle that I want to draw out from these verses is that being filled with God's Spirit makes witnesses and empowers them to be effective. Let me say that again. Being filled with God's Spirit makes witnesses and empowers them to be effective. Dan Larry, I feel like I'm preaching your message today. Look at verse 6 back in Acts chapter 1. This gives us hope, doesn't it? It gives me hope as a pastor and as a father. Because it says that even after 3 years of the disciples being with Jesus, and they were eyewitnesses to his resurrection, they are still expecting him to restore Israel as a nation or as a political kingdom when he's been trying to teach them about the kingdom of God. Now he's getting ready to go. So somebody asked a question. I don't know if this was disheartening to Jesus or not. But then look how he responds. He responds in verse 8 because Jesus corrects their thinking again as he says to them, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You see that even after those 3 years there was confusion. They were expecting something political. They were expecting something that would restore the nation of Israel to what it was before. And Jesus is getting ready to send these men and women on the mission to build the kingdom of God. That's why he said to them, "Don't leave Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Spirit comes on you." And when it did, they begin to get it. The combination of the truth of God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe those things begin to be integrated into their life and into their hearts. It's why we're here today. Amen. So, this has been encouraging to me because I realize sometimes as a pastor and as a father, you see people struggling. And you want them to get it. You want them to understand. You're wrestling with those things yourself. But it gives me hope that at the moment, or right before Jesus is going to go back to be with his Father, there still is some confusion. But the thing that they did is they waited. They waited for the power of the Holy Spirit. And that brought the integration into their hearts, their lives, and their minds that they needed. Look at Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. It should be up here. Wow, this is so big, I can read it right off of here. I never do that, but I'm gonna do it. I'll give you just a second to turn. Now, remember last week when we talked about Peter? Peter took Jesus aside and he rebuked him. He said, you know, because Jesus said, I'm going to have to die. And Peter said, never, Lord, I'm never going to let that happen. But let's look and see. It did happen. Let's look and see what it did. After Peter has been filled with the Spirit, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Now, do you see what I'm saying? The filling of the Holy Spirit comes to make witnesses and to empower them to be effective. Because this is the guy that was cowardly. This was the guy that tried to stop Jesus from going to the cross. I mean, there's the tension. So here he is. You know, how many days Fred passed? Maybe 50-something days? He's filled by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has taken the truth of God's word in his life and has caused him to be a witness and is causing him to be effective. And he is there because realize the Holy Spirit not only works through us to be a witness, it works in the person that we're trying to witness to. It gives us hope. I mean, when you look across the scene of this country, I mean, the culture scene and what's going on, this gives us hope. It gives us something to stand on rather than just to kind of say, you know, I wish there was something. I wish there was a different president. You know, I mean, part of the whole thing with the president being in there, I think it's to stir up God's people. Listen, you know, there's not a political answer. We're guilty of the same thing that the disciples were. You know, I mean, if we could just get the Republicans back in there, we'd be okay. And if you're on the other side, say, hey, if we could just keep the Democrats in there, we'll be okay. Listen, what this country needs is not political from a standpoint of spiritual transformation. It is the truth of God's word being taught and being preached and being lived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm almost done. Let me, Robert E. Coleman, who I believe has been with the Navigators. He's written some great books. There's a couple of books that I recommend. One's called The Master Plan of Evangelism, and the other is The Master Plan of Discipleship. And here's a statement that he wrote for The Master Plan of Discipleship. He said, the Great Commission is not a special calling or a gift of the Spirit. It is a command. It's an obligation incumbent upon the whole community of faith. Now listen to me, and you hear this from me a lot, I know, but you're doing well. We're doing well as a church family. I mean, we've got, you know, as many things going on probably as we have leadership to help and volunteers to serve in. There's not a difference between me and you. Because pastor is a title that I have. It's not. Now, my function may be different than yours, and some of you help to pastor and help to care for people. I know that. But you understand, this is not something that we just sit in our seats. And this is the problem with America. It's why we're so anemic. It's why we're so powerless, you know, because number one, there are many pastors and church leaders that are teaching this. Just come here, just sit. You know, people are always going to be on the fringes, but people need to be engaged in being filled with the fullness of God. They need to. It's expected. It's what God expects to happen in your life. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, this is not an optional thing. And many times we think about the power of the Holy Spirit and we think about, you know, joy and we think about, you know, enjoying God's presence and kind of a personal thing. But I mean, what Jesus was talking about was taking the Holy Spirit on the mission. Amen. to help build the kingdom. That's the number one thing. He wasn't talking about feeling good and about, you know, I mean, that's a part of it, yes, and all those things. But do you understand? The priority was that the kingdom of God, that people would be drawn into personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and they would be transferred from a kingdom of darkness, a kingdom of deception, into a kingdom of light that is built on the truth of God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit. And all of us have a part to contribute in that. Now, in closing, let me just say this, okay? No matter where you stand on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whether you believe in that as a separate experience, or whether you don't, whether you believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit many times is the manifestation of that as a prayer language that people pray, and not the gift of speaking in tongues, but pray in tongues, or whether you don't, as a believer, it is abnormal for us to not want to be filled with God's Spirit. There's something wrong in that. And I know we have people coming in from both streams of things, and you may be in a journey in the middle of all that. But I do know this, that there is a desire that God puts in us, spiritual DNA, that there is a desire that we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to be filled with the fullness of God. I mean, we sang it this morning, didn't we? We sang about, you know, Lord, I want to be with you. Well, the way that he is with us is by the Holy Spirit, yes, in his word. But there's an indwelling presence, a fullness. It's just like my, you know, it's like me being disconnected. You can get disconnected. You can have leaks. It's like giving out a drink of water, you know, and you got to go back and fill your pitcher again. And so this morning we're going to do that. We're just going to, Brian, y'all go ahead and come, would you? We're going to worship for just a few minutes, not long. And I want to just invite you to come. Some of you are about as dry as a piece of bread been laying on the desert for a while. You may be, I don't know. Maybe. All right. We're just going to take a few minutes. We're not going to take long. I want to ask Chuck and Suzanne if y'all would come. I want to ask some of the elders and their wives if they were coming. Some of those that may help. And we don't have to have an entourage right now. But if you normally come and pray, or if you just feel like you want to come, just, you know, lay your hands on some of these people as they come, just come on, okay? We're going to open it up. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We ask, Holy Spirit, for you to come and to fill us, to refill us. Lord, to indwell us with your presence. We thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.